But does it come back to your radio, the one that keyed it up?
Right now it does, but when we get the other repeater up there, it'll go to that repeater controller. That'll be a different controller.
Just curious. Well, I was reading up on the website, too, on the Breyer's website. What is the repeater set up for as far as, like a telephone call and all that stuff? I mean, what is all that? Because, I mean, I was reading something on there about where you can actually call, like, a telephone number or something. I mean, what's that set up for?
So years ago, before there was any such thing as a cell phone, one of the features of the repeater back then was that it had a dialer, a telephone number dialer. And if you had an emergency, you could bring it up with DTMF tones, similar to the way we bring things up with DTMF tones. And you could, and people actually had what looked like a telephone keypad on their right below their transmitter in their car. They made consoles special for it, and it held your radio up above, and it held your dialer underneath. And you dial in some numbers to the, you'd key up the mic, dial in some numbers, let off the mic. It would bring up that feature, and you'd key up the mic again, and you'd punch in the phone number you wanted to call, and it would place the call for you. And it could be an emergency call, so it could be like a 911 call, or it could be just you're calling somebody, all right, at their house before cell phones existed. And you could talk to them over the radio. It would relay it from their house back to their radio, but from their radio to their house to their radio. And you could talk to them. You had to let the people know you're going over there, and this is half duplex. It's not full duplex, so we can't talk at the same time. You'd have to tell them all of that stuff and explain it to them. But you could actually place a telephone call with a radio back then.
That might have been what that was, but I wasn't quite for sure. But it does make sense. I mean, that would be pretty cool back in the day. So, I mean, does all that still exist, or is all that done dead now? Or I noticed it was still on the website. I don't know what year it was when I pulled it up, what it said on there. But, I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think after, like, 10 years of paying the phone bill every month and nobody ever using it, because cell phones are just, you can do the same thing with a cell phone now, I think the decision was finally made not to continue to pay that bill.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that. I mean, that was kind of weird. I was reading up on all that stuff. And I was thinking, man, you know, that was, you know, it had to be a good setup back in the day, but I didn't know if it was still going or not, because, I mean, I know there's a lot of phones out there now, and that was something pretty cool. So that explained to me why a lot of the old vehicles that used to have, like, the radio had the keypad under the radio and built into the console. So, okay, well, you answered that question for me.
Yeah, portable.
And I know that, Kevin, just because my dad had one in his car. And we used to look at it all the time when we get in the car. Go ahead, Andy. W4DJW.
3 months ago, I heard someone real late at night on 8-2 dialing something up. Up until that point, I thought it was all 2.
Did they make a connection? It probably didn't work. They might have been trying it, but it probably didn't work. It went for years and years with nobody trying it.
They dialed somebody up, but they never got an answer.
There's Wyatt with the answer. That's what I was going to say next, is because so many telemarketers bother people, I don't think they answer their telephone anymore. If I look at it and I don't know who it's coming from, I don't answer the hard line. Go ahead, Wyatt.
It is still enabled on 8-2, as far as I'm aware. It still has a phone line. We still pay the bill. It theoretically still works. I don't know if anybody in the repeater club and the repeater committee has ever actually used it in the last 5 years.
Well, there you go, Andy. They're still paying the bill.
I was shocked. I was just laying. He was standing on here late one night, standing across, and it locked on 8-2. And I heard that, and I couldn't believe my ears, because y'all realize how long ago that's been and what the doggone phone line calls could probably be still for hardly any use. It's done, mate. J-I-4-L-Z-I portable.
If it's on one of the grandfathered accounts, it's probably $5 a month. Do you know what it is, Wyatt?
It was 24 a month, but don't quote me on that. And I'm guessing the net's over.
Yeah, you just missed it by about 10 minutes. Hey, Wyatt, you got any spare CPU cycles you want to contribute to COVID-19 vaccine discovery?
Jason wants me to get my Plex 1500 running on my computer. I got noise coming out of it. It's something at least. But no, my main machine normally runs at about 80% used.
Okay. Well, it was worth a try. Go ahead, Andy.
Go carry on. I heard y'all talking about that auto patch, and you didn't know, and I was stunned to hear that night. Just thought I'd let y'all know about that, because it surprised me that phone line's still being paid for. KI4LZI portable, going back to Monica.
Okay. Me too, unless Kevin... that's all you were looking for.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I had. There was something else I was going to ask you. I done forgot all about it. The EchoLink things, as far as like, or not EchoLink, but like linking repeaters together. How does that work?
So. The software that we're going to be running on the Raspberry Pi that connects the radios together, you've got three radios. You got a transmitter and a receiver and a control/link radio, those three. And the transmitter only has one function that it does, and that's transmit. The receiver only has one function that it does, and that's receive. And then the link radio transmits and receives. And what happens is, inside the software, you're listening to all of their sound, and you're able to send output to the transmitter and to the link radio. And you've got the option to hear the sound coming into the receiver, and that's all the receiver does. It's listening on the input frequency. And you have the option to send that sound to and key the transmit radio, or the transmit radio and the control/link radio. So all you're doing is, based on the codes that we send in to tell it to link or don't link, it takes the audio that comes in from the receiver and it sends it out to both radios and transmits on them. And then when it is linked up, it also listens on the output of A2 and it takes that as receive input and it outputs that to the transmitter on 6-1. It's pretty basic, pretty simple if you think about it.
How far does the repeaters travel? I mean, say, if you're going to link up one repeater to another repeater, I mean, how far do they travel, the distance between the repeaters? Because I know they're at a higher elevation and they can cover more ground.
Well, they have the same restrictions we have when we're talking to the repeater, theoretically, line of sight. It does bounce off of stuff, but every time it bounces off of something, your quality goes down. But there needs to be line of sight, and that's one thing we're struggling with right now. The way the antenna is oriented over at the A2 site, between Paris Mountain and Caesar's Head, is straight line of sight. It's about 27 miles, I think is what it is. And there's just a little chunk of ground between, if you're on the ground, if you're on at both sides, there's a little chunk of ground at Caesar's Head that is between us and that antenna, which puts you in a shadow at both ends. So until we get just high enough to get around that chunk of ground, it's not going to be a good quality signal. Now, as long as your line of sight, it's like the satellites that are going overhead. They're 200 miles away, but it's line of sight, so it doesn't matter. They're 700 miles away, and you can talk on them like we're talking right now.
Hey, Roger that. Yeah, that's what I was curious about. I wasn't curious how all that worked. I mean, I've heard people talking about linking up to repeaters and different things. I hear the guy talking about linking. I can't remember if it's an air repeater that we're talking on now to a repeater in Tennessee so he could talk to his buddy or something. I overheard that conversation one day, and I was trying to figure out how that worked. But evidently, he was doing it through the radio, and I forgot what he was trying to do, but he was trying to link them together so he could talk to somebody else, and he was talking about you could link it together and be off to the side where everybody else can still use the repeater, too. That's kind of what I was wondering about. One day when we get back together again, one of the meetings, you just have to explain it to me, you know. It'd be easier looking at you and, you know, seeing what you're talking about as being on the air, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and what he's talking about, there's multiple ways to do that, too. So that what I was explaining is an RF link. An RF link is the fastest link you can get because it travels, you know, the speed of light. The other, next to the fastest, is an IP link, but it travels at the speed of the computers that are connected to the internet that it's using to connect the two. So, yeah, you can connect one from here, one from England over to here, and you can talk over there, and you can talk over here if you're using an IP link, TCP/IP, which is internet. And then the way the DMR radios are doing it is they take little time slices of several millionths of a second, and they'll transmit on the frequency that we're on now, and then they'll turn their transmitter off, and then they'll go a few millionths of a second, and they'll turn another frequency, well, another channel, they call them channels, they turn channels on and off every few one millionths of a second, and they do it so fast that it sounds like you only hear what you're channel number is set to listen to. It only listens to like every even or every odd grouping of millionths of a second. So it's kind of like TV. Your TV refreshes every 60 times every second. But to you, it looks like it's fluid, but it's not, right? It's refreshing every, if you wave your fingers in front of it, you can tell it. Same thing with the audio. You can do that same trick with audio. So there's multiple ways of doing that, Kevin. W4DJW.
Yeah, I need to learn all that stuff, man, one day. You know, that'd give me something else to do as far as, you know, making contacts in different places. You know, that's one thing that, you know, we was talking about one day. You know, I'd like to be able to go through, like, the Echolink thing and pop out somewhere else and make contact somewhere else, but I can't figure out how to do that through the Echolink thing. There's a lot that I got to learn about that. I don't even know if I got it set up right yet or not, you know. I mean, I know I got it set up for this repeater, K9OH repeater. There's about three or four of them that I have linked in there. But I don't know if I got everything set the way it's supposed to, because some of the other stations you try to pull up, as far as going into repeaters and trying to pull them up, it won't let you pull up other repeaters. It ain't but just a few of them that will actually do. Well, I'll let you get back to whatever you're doing, man, and that way you can get ready for bed. That's what I'm fixing to do, get ready to hit the sack here and get ready for in the morning, Monday morning, see what we got. But I'll say happy Easter to everybody out that way, and you have a good one, Dave, and I'll let you get back to whatever you were doing. KN4UBG, I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Kevin, and just so you know why repeaters don't often let you connect to another repeater, the reason for that is repeaters have that squelch tail, like when we let up. It's not on right now because it's in net mode, but at 1 o'clock in the morning, it'll come out of net mode, and every time you let off, you hear it go bleep. And if you connect to another Echolink repeater and it goes bleep, then that bleep tells this repeater that somebody keyed up. So this repeater keys up. And then when it unkeys, it goes bleep. And when it goes bleep, it tells that other repeater to key up. So it keys up. And then there's nothing there. So it unkeys and it goes bleep. And it's just, they just go back and forth and back. And they just sit there going bleep, 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 bleep. And it'll drive people crazy. So oftentimes you can put in there not to allow a repeater to connect to you because they get into that battle of the bleeps, right, the squelch tail, and they never come out of that. I think Ryan, who is working on the Tocoa repeater, did that during Gary's net, which was very frustrating, right? You don't want to do that. You don't want to experiment during a net. But I think he did that, and he finally figured out what he was doing, and he got it out of there real quick. So you got to be careful when you connect to another repeater. Some are able to understand that they're going into that mode and turn their squelch tail off. Others are not able to do that. Anyway, Kevin, happy Easter to you, too. Good talking to you. Enjoy your week to come. W4DJ, W Clear.